The 24th Problem by Janiah Riley. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey. Chapter 5. The Cavern Deep and Quiet.
The Era of Her Benevolence. Empress Fafiri Pyxis. Imperial Dig Site. Colony World 508.
Whatever suspense Charon had been trying to build up had been utterly lost in transit between the landing pad and the dig site. First, they had to arrange for several small bioelectric crawlers to be brought around, then to arrange for several cases of equipment to be loaded into the backs of the crawlers, and then for a small survey crew to find space for themselves and their personal effects in the crawlers. Only then, when everything was packed away and Arania was sweating and miserable from the dry, kiln-like heat of the space, were they finally able to load into the cab of the lead crawler and shut the door. The climate control was half broken, but even a half measure felt like a Maitspritz kiss after a long absence in the circumstances. Arania unbuttoned the top few buttons of her uniform and slumped back against the passenger seat as Charon hopped in next to her. The entire space behind them in the lead cab was taken up with a mishmash of crawling gear, surveying equipment, and a set of large cases that contained the various parts of the ruggedized field analytics computer. Arania stuck her own personal portable terminal up front between her and Charon, and that left space for only the two of them. Winera grumbled about it, but ultimately she accepted that she was going to be riding in the next crawler back along with the rest of the survey crew. Charon grinned and shifted the crawler into gear, slowly beginning to pull out along the cracked, rolling terrain.
"Well, I hope I'm good enough company for you, Major,"
their voice drawled across the tepid air of the cabin, barely stirred by the air conditioning system as it struggled to bring the temperature down.
"Normally, we'd wait for night on something like this, but I heard tell that this is important to some very important folks."
Their voice drawled across the tepid air of the cabin, barely stirred by the air conditioning system as it struggled to bring the temperature down. Arania thought back to the hyperlight message, slowly counting down to its own oblivion.
"Yes, I think that's a fair assessment. We appreciate your cooperation."
Charon waved a hand in Arania's direction.
"Oh, it's nothing doing. We don't see a lot of higher bloods down here in the first place, let alone someone so distinguished."
"Oh?" This was a surprise to her. She wouldn't consider herself a complete unknown, but she was certainly no celebrity.
"Oh, yeah? Read an article about your discovery last sweep, the twin spires of Dusklight. Really neat stuff."
They sounded genuinely excited, and Arania was impressed that they'd read about such an obscure find. She smiled.
"I wouldn't say it was anything amazing. The spires were already mostly in ruin by the time I got there."
"Sure,"
they said, shaking their heads.
"But that's not the whole of it, is it? The way you carefully excavated around the sediment deposits?"
Arania nodded and felt a little bit of color rise to her cheeks. She wasn't used to her work being recognized by someone who wasn't in the field.
"Well, thank you. In my opinion, if something is worth doing, it was doing correctly."
Charon put their hands back on the crawler's steering wheel, grinning stupidly.
"Well, I'm a bit of an amateur archaeologist myself, not in my training exactly. But what else is there to do once the job of survival is done out this far?"
He supposed it wasn't entirely fair that some ultimately inconsequential quirk of genetics had landed this olive blood in a position where they would never attend the Imperial Science Academy. They were, in fact, probably about as high up the ladder as they could expect to go. Acting colony administrator. A low blood in charge of low bloods.
"Wigglers playing at being grown up."
The thought rose unbidden to her mind, and Arania winced at it. It was a very unkind way to look at things, very much against the spirit of her benevolence. Low bloods could be just as valuable in the Empire as anyone else, and if needed, they could be cared for in a way that would ensure their continued enrichment.
"You okay?"
Charon asked, glancing over at Arania, and she realized that she'd been frowning deeply.
I'm fine. Just, I've been dealing with the same headache since last night.
Oh, right. I've got just the thing for that. Fellow by the name of Demon makes a medicine that'll fix your head right up.
Demon?
Yep, our cook. And also our primary doctor right now. Only person with any kind of medical training on the colony right now. Our last doctor had an unfortunate run-in with a cliff.
Of course, Arania said quietly, feeling the headache flare up again. Kind thought or not, she couldn't help but lament the incompetence on display here. A bunch of fucking wigglers after all. At least their leader seems to have some level of, she wasn't sure, knowledge was the word she'd choose, but an affinity for knowledge at the very least.
Tell me more about the Jigsite and the artifact that brought me here. I'm afraid the information provided was less than adequate.
Well, I don't want to spoil things on the actual artifact. Oh.
It paused and frowned heavily.
Mostly because I don't completely understand what it is. But you'll see why I contacted you when we get there.
Fine. So, tell me about the site itself. Tell me about this planet. It has ancient ruins on it, correct?
Charon beamed at that.
Yep, that it does. Old ones, too. Least 5,000 sweeps, maybe older. Most of what's left is just, skeletal. Not bones, mind, but...
They gestured in the air, trying to think.
Infrastructure. Pillars and columns and metal skeletons of buildings.
Intriguing, Arania muttered to herself, and it was. It was interesting to imagine what had once been here, thousands of sweeps in the past. Given the planet's ecology, she imagined that there had been some past crisis, some event that had wiped the place clean of all life. Long enough ago that even seeing traces of it proved difficult. She wondered how accurate the assessments were. 5,000 sweeps was a long time, but perhaps it had been even longer. Long enough that much of the fine details were now gone, only the gross remained to try to piece together the history of the place.
It absolutely is that. But that's the thing about it. The place we found, it's got more to it than the rest of the planet.
Oh, and this place you found, what is it?
Charon shrugged.
Some kind of cavern? Cave? Something like that. We're not sure, just that someone found an entrance and the whole place was wide open. And the inside is preserved better than anything I've ever seen.
That piqued her interest. The idea of the remains of a long dead civilization that wasn't buried under tons of sand and dust. The chance to actually see some of that finer detail that hadn't been wiped clean with the rough cloth of time.
And that's why you sent that transmission. I'm sorry, but as interesting as that is, I fail to see how it rises to the level of...
But they put up a hand to stop her. Arania felt a hot flash of anger behind her face, but it was gone almost immediately. They hadn't meant anything by it. There was no sense in getting upset over it.
It's not that. It's... Well, you'll see.
She leaned back in the crawler's seat and sighed, puffing a loose strand of hair away from her face. Charon wasn't going to expand on the vague promises of this dig site. Maybe they couldn't expand on it, lacked the imagination or intellectual capacity to do it justice. It didn't matter. They would be there soon enough, and she would see for herself. The line of crawlers pulled to a stop after another 30 minutes driving along, finally giving the column of dust that had been following them a chance to settle down. Out the window, Arania could see the signs of some kind of temporary evacuation camp. It looked like it was set against the side of a massive hill that rose up from the surrounding landscape, covered all over with the same dried scrub grass that seemed to thrive in the harsh conditions. It reminded Arania of the flora of the Bephoran deserts, the way that the planets stubbornly refused to die in spite of everything facing them.
Well, we're here, Major,
Charon said, shutting down the engine to the crawler. The heat from outside immediately began to make itself known with the climate control gone. Arania wiped the thin line of sweat off her forehead, buttoned up her uniform, and grabbed the portable terminal. Stepping out of the crawler was a miserable experience. The wave of heat that hit Arania in the face brought tears to her eyes and nearly knocked her down. Urgency or not, she would have much preferred to wait for nightfall to do any of this. She gripped the portable terminal and turned to Charon, glaring at them against the heat. "Show me the sights."
"Well, what about all your fancy gear, Major?"
She narrowed her eyes and shook her head. The backwater charm act was starting to wear itself awfully thin.
"I have assistance for a reason. Show me the dig site."
They shrugged and walked ahead of Arania, motioned back for her to follow. A short trail led back from the main path, down past a series of tents that were probably there to accommodate the staff working at the dig. How many of the colonists were engaging in this whole process? How long had they been working here? Something about this felt like it didn't add up with the message that had been originally relayed.
"So, how long have your people been working here?"
She saw Charon shrug their shoulders but didn't hear the response.
"I'm sorry, what was that?"
"Well, we started this maybe a perigee ago, when we first broke through into the cavern. Sent a message back to Imperial Command, but didn't hear back for a while."
That was an interesting detail. Arania closed her eyes and concentrated.
"You say you sent a message. What do you mean?"
"Well, we were following Imperial Protocol 413. Sent a hyperlight message soon as we found this thing."
They weren't lying. But the protocol they mentioned wasn't one she was familiar with. Something specific to the colonies, then? Arania had been assigned to the fleet for her whole career, save some short stints with digs on established colonies. She would have to ask Charon for more detail when she got the chance. But if they sent a hyperlight apparently back, that meant that what she had seen was either extremely out of date, or it was faked. Both possibilities sent a shudder through her. She wasn't used to being kept in the dark. At least, she didn't think she was used to it. After all, she was close to the heiress. That kind of thing carried weight. She steadied herself and nodded. Couldn't let the emotions show through. As far as this olive blood knew, she was the very face of the Empress herself.
"Of course, you did the right thing. Now."
"Right, right."
Charon waved a hand and kept walking forward past the tents and down a shallow embankment, right up to the side of the hill itself.
"We found this place when we were taking scans of the terrain to look for water. Found a big cavity and thought, well, maybe there's water inside. Wasn't expecting all this."
The side of the hill had a massive gash carved into it, gaping open to reveal darkness beyond. The opening had been propped up with wooden prefab supports, the kind used for mining operations that were too delicate to trust to drones. Charon stopped by the entrance to the tunnel and took two headlamps from a rack to one side.
"You'll need this until... you'll see."
She was getting so tired of this idiot's vague insinuations about what she would find within. This, and the revelation that she knew a lot less about the situation than she'd previously thought. Didn't they trust her? She'd spent plenty of time proving herself, proving that she could do the job she'd been assigned. But apparently that meant less than nothing to the people back on before us, who weren't currently drenched in foul-smelling sweat listening to someone dodge her questions. She switched on the headlamp and walked ahead of Charon.
"I'm assuming the path is self-evident."
She didn't wait for a response. Being out of the sunlight was nice, at least. It took the temperature down immediately, and it felt like there was cool air coming from further down. The path led downward, and eventually it leveled out and began to feel more regular, more purposeful. She imagined that she was now striding along the same path that some ancient race had once trodden, down into the earth, the temperature dropping as she went. The tunnel she was in opened up suddenly, coming out under some kind of archway half buried in dirt and debris. The ancient structure was still holding up remarkably well, and around her, light, something that clung to the ceiling above and shone down on her. She switched off the headlamp, and it was still enough for her to see by.
"See? Told you!"
Charon's voice behind her, giddy with excitement. Arania nodded thoughtfully and looked up toward the ceiling. It was high enough that she couldn't make it out in the shadows beyond the traces of luminescence. Bioillumination. She was mostly thinking out loud. What else could hold out for 5,000 sweeps without failing? Some kind of organism that was engineered originally to provide light that had bred out of control in the cavern? She doubted that what she was seeing was the original pattern. Fascinating. Another 20 yards down through this cavern, and Aranya saw something she wasn't fully expecting. A set of solid stairs leading further down. They were made of some deep black material that she didn't recognize right away. Something that hadn't worn at all over the sweeps, and why not? Hidden from exposure and moisture, she imagined that the right materials could basically last forever.
Cool, right? And this isn't even the best part!
The excitement in their voice was grating. She would see soon enough. And then she would make the decision about the exact nature of the best part. But they just kept talking.
It's down this flight of stairs, and then... you'll see.
Aranya shook her head and began her descent, taking each stair in turn as she walked deeper and deeper into the guts of this place. It was becoming increasingly hard to just think of it as a cave. It had clearly been hollowed out purposefully at the very least. She guessed that if she were to examine the structure above, she would find a layer of highly durable materials reinforcing the ceiling. It was no accident that this place hadn't collapsed in thousands of sweeps. None of this was an accident. She wasn't even at the bottom of the stairs when she saw what Charon had been alluding to. And they were right. It was impressive. The luminescent traces that had seemed so random on the ceiling were, in this case, forming patterns that appeared to be very purposeful. In the faint glow, she could see rows of cubes standing sentry, all made of the same strange black material as the staircase. They showed little to no signs of wear. And from within them she could hear some kind of low hum, or rather she could feel some kind of hum. The kind of low-frequency vibration that she associated with the bioelectric servers she had used so many times in Imperial facilities throughout the galaxy.
Have you done anything with any of this? She asked, feeling the breath catch in her chest.
No, ma'am. We weren't qualified for this, so we sent some pictures and sensor readings back to Imperial Command. Didn't they put those in your packet?
She shook her head. They had not, in fact, put those in her packet. There seemed to be something of a discrepancy in general between the information that existed and the information she'd had before.
I'll leave my crew down here right away,
she said over her shoulder, not really looking at Charon.
And I need access to your hyperlight array.
She looked out over the rows and rows of strange obsidian shapes, all sitting silently in the darkness and humming, thinking.
I need to send a message.
For the text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Janiah Riley. The music is Cycles. Composed and produced by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can also find other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.